Well, I've said good morning, but good morning again. I'm glad to see each and every one of you. And for some of you that don't know, I'm a certified lay minister with the Global Methodist Church. And I used to be one for the United Methodist Church back in the day, since 2001. But don't blame my message on my experience, or I'll compare it. I still get nervous after all these years, and even though I love all of y'all. But I have, I think, talked about Christmas before, and today's sermon or talk is not going to be about Christmas, but it is about Christmas, because anytime we talk about Jesus, we're talking about Christmas, because Christmas is when God sent him down to live like we live. I mean, to live in. And one thing, that first song we sang, that Jesus didn't cry. Well, he was sent to earth to be a human like we are. And I don't know about y'all, but I had two babies, and they cried. And you know, and babies are going to cry. Jesus did things like we do, except Jesus never sinned. And as far as I know, sinning doesn't include a baby crying. So, you know, I'm sure he was just a normal baby. And but, you know, I love that song. I just have always thought it odd, you know, but that's in there. And I understand why they put it in there. Because, Jesus is our high priest. Never particularly understood that. I would ponder on that when I would hear preachers talk about it. I just could never get it in my mind exactly what that might mean. And I've taken my scripture, and you can turn with me or not, but you might want to jot it down where it's from. Look it up later. It's only one verse. And it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. And I wrote it down. I've got my glasses with me, but I'm not going to need it. But I wrote it down on my notes where I could not try to read the tiny words from the Bible. So, but it's exactly word for word. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And that didn't explain wholly to me. I would read it, and I would say, well, Jesus came from God. He was sent here. But I'll get back to that later. Several years ago, and it's been more than several now, actually, it's hard to believe, but it's been 16 years since I went to Israel. I had an unexpected and welcome opportunity to visit Israel. My mother died in 1979, and when we were talking one day, and I said, Mother, if you could go anywhere in this world, where would you go? If money was no object, or anywhere that you would go, where would it be? And my mother said, I would love to go to Hawaii because of the flowers. My mother she had a green thumb. Look at mine. There's no green on mine. I barely can keep things alive, and I work at it somewhat. But I do have to say something about Christmas. My sister-in-law had a wonderful mother-in-law. I dearly loved her. We called her Mama. She thought I was hers. But she could grow things like my mother could. And she left me after she died. She said, I want Evelyn to have my Christmas cactus. It died. it died years ago, because she died in the 90s. But I regret that. I would love to have Mama's Christmas cactus. But I had this opportunity to visit Israel. And like I said, I'll get back to it later. Mother wanted to go to Hawaii because of the flowers. She wanted to see the flowers. And she gardened. She was one of these people who we'd go visit a neighbor. Let's go see Jeanette. And I'm like, Miss Jeanette was like a second mother. or Miss Fannie Lee or Miss Bessie and these neighbors we had. And if they weren't home, she still got out. We still had to get out of the car, walk around their garden, their flower garden and in their yard to see what's new. She knew when there was a new plant there. It amazed me. I was there almost every day to Miss Bessie's. And I couldn't have told you if there were a dozen of different flowers in her yard. But Mother knew. And she'd go around and pick a little cutting off, get a little cutting off these, you know. And I said, Mother, do you realize that you're stealing their flowers? She said, I'm not. They did the same thing when they come to our house. And I'm sure they did. But she would get those. She loved that. And this was a little over a year before she died. She called me and she said, Fannie Lee called me. That was and she said, her sister-in-law at down, I think it was in Columbus or Rome or somewhere, their church, there were several people going to Hawaii on a trip, little tour. And she said, she's asked me to go and be her roommate. And I said, well, you need to go. And she did. She went, and God gave her the desire of her heart. Oh, that was the desire of her heart. And the Bible says that, you know, that look it up. And I don't have the scripture. I don't know the scripture off the top of my head. But he'll give us the desires of our hearts if we follow him. And Mother was Mother loved Jesus. And so she got to go, and she died a year later. But she got to go see Hawaii, and she was thrilled. Well, she, at that time, I asked her where she would go. She said, where would you like to go? Anywhere in the world, money, no object. And I said, Israel, without hesitation. I'd always wanted to go to the Holy Land, to Israel. And lo and behold, in fall of 2007, summer of 2007, I had an opportunity to go. And I had an opportunity to go without spending any money except, we had to buy our lunches, but our hotels served our meals, breakfast and dinner. And I had been a certified lay speaker in the Methodist Church for years, and my district superintendent, who was the best we ever had, I think, Gerald Thurman, asked me one day, he said, have you ever been to Israel? And I said, no. I've always wanted to go. And he said, well, you know. So he didn't say anything else. He said, you know, it's a neat place. And I don't know, we talked about it for a few minutes. And then that summer, no, the fall came. And he said, would you like to, he said, I want you to be sure, being the director of the lay speaking ministry there, I always got invited to the Christmas parties or the picnics or things that where the clergy and all, and I knew just about everybody in the Gainesville district. So I went, he said, are you coming? It's that date. Well, the secretary had actually called and asked, and I said, no, I can't because I'm going to be in Mexico. We're leaving on a mission trip to Mexico that afternoon. And she said, wait just a minute. So she said, Gerald, she's not going to be at the party. She's going to be in Mexico on a mission trip. And so she came back and she said, Gerald wants to talk to you. And he said, you have to go? And I said, Mexico? And I said, yeah, they've already bought the tickets and we're going. And so, and this was about 3 weeks before that. And he said, well, I'm going to talk to you. We were going to surprise you at the Christmas party. But he had, behind my back, approached churches when they went to all that. Was back when you'd have your own charge conference at your church, and he would go, and behind my back, he announced that they were planning on sending me to Israel as a surprise. As I'd done this about, I think at that time, about 8 years, there were that. But he blessed me like that. But he did sneak around behind my back. I had nothing, had no idea anything was going on. And that was such a blessing. But God made sure that he gave me the desire of my heart, and I got to go. Well, I was so excited. There was a lady pastor in our district who her husband had died several years ago, and she had planned on going. And I was delighted to find when they had paired up the people who didn't have a roommate, they paired me up with her, not even knowing that I knew her. So she had a church in Beaufort. And so Teresa and I, without having to be in our own room, but it was just something that was wonderful. Well, we went, and we stayed about, I think the trip counting the air travel was about 10 days. And so we get there, and I remember crying when the plane was landing in Tel Aviv. I was just so touched and so grateful that trip, you know, was just. But since that visit to Israel in 2008, the Bible has come alive to me. I can picture things that I had never thought about. My fellow travelers and I saw and experienced amazing things. I'm a cat person. A lot of y'all know that. I love dogs, but cats are easier for me to have, and they don't have to go out. You know, the litter box takes care of their needs and the food bowl and whatever. And we went to the upper room, where they believe the upper room was actually the place. And guess what? There were there cats. Lots of cats, beautiful cats that were mostly white that had a light gray color on them, spots. Most beautiful cats. And I got to pet a bunch of them. They allowed them in there. They didn't try to shoo them out or bar them from being there. God's creatures. I thought, well, you know, this is awesome. But everywhere we went to Beth Shean. And first thing we saw when I got off the bus was a cat. And so I petted it, and I had left over, and I put it down for it to eat. But everywhere we went, there were cats, and I figured out why. I mean, it's not, growing up in the country, and you got cats, what do they eat? Rats. So that kept the mouse rat population down in Israel, and I guess still does. But they seem to think a lot of those. And one of the things we saw was the stones that were used in slingshots, like David used in slaying Goliath. And instead of being pebbles, because I'd always wonder, how could a little pebble kill this big, huge giant? Well, those things are that big. That's what he slung. And no wonder it hit his forehead and killed him, or knocked him out, at least for David to finish off the job. But that was just amazing to me. Those stones were in a museum we went to there. Our guide was wonderful. We loved him. His name is David Ahrens, and David has a dual citizenship. In Israel is one. He is a Jew, but he grew up in the United States, and he had a dual citizenship, United States of America and Israel. Oh, and we'd stop places, and he would show us. He showed us where they believed that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. We got to go to the place where there's two places that they say that the crucifixions happened, but we got to go to the Garden Tomb, which is, I felt, you know, that it just felt more real there than that place in the I guess, I don't know what denomination had put that there. They had several where you go in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was a big shock because it wasn't a quiet little town. It was, Bethlehem is in mostly Palestinian property. It's, we had to, our guide couldn't go with us into Bethlehem. We had to have, because he was Jewish. So that was sad. But when we went there, we were in line, and we saw just all these wonderful things, and we were waiting to go down because there was this big star. You might have seen pictures of it. It looks like kind of like copper, but that's the spot they said where Jesus was born. And there was a group of people before us in line, and they were Japanese. And they sang the most beautiful version of Silent Night. It's my favorite, very favorite Christmas song of all times. I've always loved it. And that Japanese group, in their language, sang Silent Night, and it was so beautiful. And I thought, this is just wonderful. And it was just, then they had a place, they showed us that. Well, we got to see that, and we went to the Garden Tomb. And it was, we saw where they had taken pictures of the place of the skull, And it doesn't look as much like it than it did in the late 1800s because they had a photograph there. And it looked like a skull, but it was behind where he would have been crucified. It was interesting because the crucifixion took place. You know, they talk about the people spitting on him, you know, walking by. And he had the sign, King of the Jews, over him. And they wouldn't have been able to spit on him. I'm always, you know, look at these depictions, and there the three, Jesus and the two thieves, are way up in the air where you couldn't hardly reach his feet to touch him. But they weren't, the guy there at in Jerusalem said, no, they were where people could actually spit on his face. And those just, they weren't big, tall, they wouldn't have been that tall crosses. And so he was on a cross, but it was more where people could spit on him. But it was by a road that they used to walk by. It was a trade route there, trade route, as we could call it. So we saw things like that. But the most interesting thing, I think, that I saw, well, I saw a lot of interesting things. But relating to Christmas, we saw the shepherd's fields. And they're really grassy there, very, very grassy. The shepherd's fields that the temple owned, and that they said that's the field that he was in. But it's rocky. I mean, it had huge, huge boulders. It's a very rocky field. So the sheep had to, I guess, go around. But that kind of amazed me. But there were so many things. Every stop seemed like it was more and more to take in. Like I said, that whole time we were there, it was just one thing after another. And our guide answered all of our questions. He read scripture to us when we went to a place. And Jesus, most of his miracles were done in the Galilee section, around the Sea of Galilee. And we'd stop. And he'd either read it, he'd read it, or he'd have one of us to read it. And so it was, we visited, you know, we got out on this stop on the Sea of Galilee, and the bus left me. And so I was, my bus had gone, and so another bus from that tour company, you know, said, yeah, they left a few minutes ago. And I said, well, I was in line for the bathroom during that time that they left. They radioed, the lady radioed my guide and said, are you missing anybody? And he said, no, everybody's here. Well, Teresa was my roommate, didn't want to sit at the back of the bus. I sat right behind that door because it's easier to get off and back on after stops. So she sat up front. So when David said, is your roommate or partner or whatever here, you know, make sure they're here on the bus. And then, but she never turned around to look at me at the back of the bus. She would do this and not look back to let me know she was on the bus. So I always knew she was on the bus. Anyway, apparently she did the same thing that day. And the guy that had called him said, does the name Evelyn Wells mean anything to you? And then she, there with the phone away from her. Anyway, apparently he gave Teresa a kind of a hard time. So this was a New York bus, somewhere in New York. And so I was on that bus, and I went with them for like two stops until we met up at a stop where they were going to be. And that New York crowd wanted me to stay on the bus. It was just so, I had a captive audience because some of them never heard a Southern accent before. And so they were just fascinated by mine. And so, but they said, yeah, you need to ditch that Atlanta crowd and go with us. I said, I think y'all are more fun. It was just, so he made me, the guide made me read the scripture about the lost sheep. I said, hey, y'all are the ones that left me. I didn't get lost. I was at the bathroom. But he would read or have us read things. And it was just glorious being there and seeing and touching things that Jesus would have seen and touched. But you know, as wonderful as our sightseeing was, and I just loved it. But my experience of heart seeing was even better. Because I could see with my heart things that I was just amazed by. just learning more and more about it. And I could feel the presence of God in that place. I got to ride a camel, which was a biggie for me. But it was hard to leave there to me. A part of me wanted to stay there forever. I wanted to get home because I didn't have a grandson then or a granddaughter, but I did need to get home to my kids and wanted to come home to see my kids, but I loved it. But it felt like home to me. It does. And it's our spiritual home. And they made that comment, some of the people there, when we were on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. He said, "Does this feel like home to some of you?" And, you know, some of us said, "Yes." And they said, "That's not unusual. It's your spiritual home if you're a Christian." And but at every stop, I could envision Jesus. And I could envision him healing people. I could see him bringing restoration to people. I could see him forgiving people. You know, the Bible talks about all that, healing lepers, healing this and that. He had given up his heavenly home, his heavenly residence, to take on the mantle of humanity, to come down here. Why? He came here to die. You know, the baby in the manger is so cute. And it's so, when you have the manger with the little baby in there. And Mary knew that one day it was going to end differently. And I guess she would probably put it out of her mind a lot of times. I probably would. You know, that would be a hard thing for a parent to face. But although Jesus never sinned, he understands our weakness and he understands our temptations. Because the Bible said he was tempted in like manner. And he took all of our sins on himself. And he willingly died on that cross. He could have changed his mind. And he went through that struggle at the Garden of Gethsemane, but he did not. He did not change his mind. Thank God he did not. He shed his blood, not to atone for his sins, but for ours, for mine. He went to the grave in my place. He went to hell in my place, so I don't have to. We don't have to go to hell. And you've heard Pastor John preach that here. You've got a choice. Really, you've only got one choice, because you could choose heaven, and if you don't choose heaven, then you've chosen hell. And that made him our high priest, because the priest would hand down laws and this and that and follow the law, but he shed his blood to atone for us. He judged us worthy of his death on the cross. Now that amazes me no end. And people would say, sometimes I've been guilty of saying it, but gosh, if he just knew what I'd thought or what I've done. And you know, I guess we all go through that. You know, how would he be so anxious to die in our place? He loved us. He absolutely loved us more than any love I could ever imagine being in existence. And that made him our high priest, because we're not going to be judged by God in heaven when we're gone as whether we're worthy to be there. He's already made us worthy to be there. I mean, that's kind of sounds strange. Maybe not worthy is not the word, but he has given us that gift of salvation, which we can live with him in eternity. You know, he didn't glorify himself to be a high priest. He never, if you'll read that, he'd never put himself above. He was compassionate. He was loving. And he was God is the one that made him the high priest. And he will forever be our high priest. We can approach God's throne boldly and specifically when we go to pray. We don't have to, Lord, you know what I want. No. I mean, when I was growing up, if I wanted to borrow the car back in my day, they didn't buy us cars. I mean, we didn't have our own cars unless we worked and earned it. And I didn't have that opportunity to do it. But so when I went to Daddy and see if I could borrow the car on Sunday afternoon to go to a friend's house or wherever, or to a movie or whatever. He didn't. I didn't say, well, you know what, I won't, Daddy. I'd say no. I'd say, can I borrow the car this afternoon after lunch, dinner? And, you know, so I think God's the same way. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants us to tell him what we want. Be specific, even though he knows it already. I know it sounds backward, but he wants us to tell him things. He's our daddy. He's our heavenly daddy. And if he loved us that much to die for us, then we can spend time in prayer. And prayer can be fun. And I'm not talking about just formal prayers. I pray to him in different times of the day. As a spot I look out outside my window that I imagine him sitting on his throne. Somehow I can see it. I can't see it, but I can imagine him there. And I think he enjoys us interacting with him. But we can go to it boldly with confidence. And we'll know, already we know, that we'll receive his mercy and his grace. It is wonderful to know that no matter what I've done, and how I've disobeyed him, and how much I have ignored him and not followed him at times. You know, he forgives and restores us because he loves us that much. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Okay, I probably sound somewhat maybe like a Baptist, maybe not, maybe a Pentecostal. I'm halfway there, probably. But I pray that if any of you don't know Jesus as your high priest, as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll seek him out. I pray that you'll seek him out. Because I want to see all of y'all there. I want to see all of my friends there, all of my family. But I don't want to miss out on what God has prepared for us in eternity in heaven. It must be a beautiful place. But I don't want any of us to miss it. So please don't miss out on that. And that trip to Israel was the desire of my heart there. But it caused me to see and feel Jesus in my heart. I could envision what he did for me more than I could before I went. And I probably could have if I'd paid more attention. But it was wonderful to feel him in my heart over in Israel. But boy, oh boy, one day it's going to feel awfully good to meet him face to face. I heard a preacher say the other day, he said, you know, I believe that, I don't even remember who he was now, but he's saying, you know, when we get to heaven, said, I believe that we're going to have our family, the people we've lost, our family members, our friends. You can see this crowd of people coming toward us, and there we are. And we'll be hugging and whatever, and then all of a sudden the crowd splits. And there Jesus is. And that will be a glorious time. But I appreciate your attention, and I appreciate you putting up with me to fill in today, because I didn't know anything about it till yesterday. So anyway, but please bow with me. Oh, I do need to say we're not going to have a closing song because we, you know, Priscilla had to leave, and so we're not doing that. But I'm going to pray us out of here. So if you'll bow with me, please. Father, we are grateful for Jesus Christ willingly going to the cross to give his life for our sins. We thank you for loving us so much that you made provision for us to live forever with you in glory. You are faithful and true, and we give you praise. Fill us with enthusiasm and eagerness that we may serve you more fully with an urgency to carry out your mission wherever we find ourselves. Let us show your love, mercy, and grace to everyone we meet. And when others look at us, let them see Jesus instead, so they will be drawn to your free gift of salvation. In the holy and priceless name of Jesus, amen.